This project was made possible thanks to the sponsorship of the Barossa Village, the creative energies and skills of the Emu Tree, Daisy Love George, and the staff at Barossa Village. This project was designed to create a lasting memory of the people who contributed so much to our community. I'm joined here by Gordon Wiebrecht and Cheryl. Thank you very much for coming in and speaking with me today. Gordon, can I just ask, to get things started, could you please tell me your date of birth?
3/12/44.
And whereabouts did you grow up? Whereabouts were you born?
I was born in Anguston. Mum and Dad at the time were living at Black Hill.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, three sisters and two brothers. We were living with Mum down at Sedan with her mother. I'm not sure how many years we were down at Sedan.
Could you tell me who your parents were, please?
Mum was Elfrida Linda Aurich. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how long we stayed at. Oh, look, I think it was all that long.
And what was your father's name?
Leslie Walter.
What can you tell me would be some of your earliest childhood memories?
Oh, going back, oh heavens, it was a pretty quiet place to be living. But the earliest scary memory was there's all these sheds around the house. We used to set up our play centre in the sheds, and I went into a shed one day to pick up a crate of toys of some sort, and I just picked it up and walked off with it, and everyone started making a racket behind me, so I turned around to see what the racket was, and where this box of toys had been, there was a snake all curled up on the ground. It had been underneath the box, so we watched where it went, and it crawled down a hole in the stonework alongside the outside steps going down a cellar outside. We should have been quicker and made the snake a bit shorter, but everyone was a bit too slow. They couldn't believe what was happening, and we could have taken a foot or three off the snake at least. It was a fair size one. As we sort of made up our mind that this is what we could do, the snake did one last gasp and disappeared down the hole completely, and that was it. We shoved a few stones and things down the hole after it, but it wouldn't be coming out the same way anyway.
Did you see it again after that?
No.
It never returned?
Well, you sort of see whether you see where the snakes wriggle, they leave a mark, but can't remember having ever seen anything.
And what age were you, Gordon, when this happened?
Oh, good. Wouldn't have been school age yet. I would say maybe 4 or 5, something like that.
Whereabouts did you go to school?
Well, Keith would have been our earliest.
So you moved down to the southeast as a child?
Yeah.
And was this the whole family? The whole family went down to Keith?
Yep.
Okay. So six of you all together, yeah. Eventually?
Six kids, yeah.
So in the line of siblings, were you the second eldest?
Yep.
Moving down to Keith as a kid, what was Keith like back in those days?
Very different. We had to walk quite a little distance to school. Would have been a few kilometres, I suppose.
And what was the walk like? Was there certain things you'd do every day on that walk just to keep yourself entertained?
We always used to walk on the shady side of the road, wherever the trees were throwing shade most, because it used to be fairly warm down there.
And what would you get up to entertain yourselves? What sort of games do you remember playing as a child?
Well, we used to go bird nesting. We'd go up in the old straw roof, straw thatched sheds, and the sparrows used to make holes in the thatch from underneath, and we used to stick our mitts in the in the holes, and most of the time we'd get eggs. Sometimes we'd get little baby sparrows sort of thing. I'm surprised we didn't find any other creepy crawlies there, really, because it's sort of inviting that sort of thing, you know.
So this was a form of entertainment?
Something to do, yeah.
I don't know what they did.
So what would you do with the eggs that you found? Did people collect them, or...?
Well, I think so. I can't really remember who or when. I think we used to have quite a number of sparrow eggs, and everyone was quite happy to see them go.
What games would you play as a child?
Probably marbles was one of them, yeah. A few card games and board games, that sort of thing. Or Snap and Snakes and Ladders and all the old ones.
It's amazing, isn't it? They're still around today.
Well, we moved from Keith to McAlder in 1956.
And did you live in the town or did you live on a farm at McAlder?
Well, we got 6 acres, which was just enough to be a nuisance and just enough to wander around and on, and you know.
Which side of McAlder were you?
We're right opposite the Greenberg Lutheran Church, we were.
Yeah.
And the cemetery was behind the church.
North-northeast.
You used to walk to school, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
When you went to school.
Your neighbours, you'd know all the neighbours, wouldn't you?
Eventually we would, yeah.
Can you remember some of the families that were living close to you that you used to mix with?
Ron Barch.
Linkies.
Ron Barch, Ron and Joan Barch. An English couple that were down the road from us.
Yeah, well, because I only come up when we got married. Mm. So I sort of got to know all those people. But I was just going to tell you a funny story. This Sam, he was taking his wife, I can't think what her name was. He was taking her for a drive and he kept turning left.
He used to be a shift worker at the cement works.
And she said, we've been around here 3 times. See, it's all squares, so he kept turning left.
Uncertain.
Whether he did it on purpose or what, we don't know, but she was telling him, we'd done this 3 times, and we thought it was a joke. Yeah, so there's still Barch out there, Joan Barch and Clem's. Well, they were dairy farmers. The son's taken over. But where Sam was living, there's been other people living there now, new people. I don't know who they
are. That originally was Oscar Anderson. Oscar and Bertha Anderson.
Yeah, some old names out there. And the Linkies, well, yeah, the Linkies.
Used to be a Zagenschnitter living up on the main road.
Oh, and Shillings?
Hugo Shillings used to live at what they call Parrot Hill.
Priscilla's lived down the road.
Yeah, Percy Fowler used to live down the hill the other way. And, that changed hands a few times sort of thing.
Fred Linky, he lived just not far from us.
One of the old tribe of the Linky clan. They sort of lived around us in various locations sort of thing.
That's really fantastic that you're recalling all this, because it totally paints a picture of who's there.
You know? Yeah, well, Joan, like Ron Barch, they just lived up from us, and his lot share farm on their paddock, you know, put crop and that in, put their sheep in there. She had pet sheep.
Okay.
That she'd hold with a tin with food. They'd walk behind it. And she still lives out there, Joan does. Yeah.
So, Gordon, they were good memories, McAlder in those days?
Oh, reasonably. Lost both our parents. I think it was 1975. It was close to Christmas sort of thing. It wasn't a very happy Christmas that year. Oh, and then there was a few Barches there. There was Gordon Barch. He had quite a tribe of boys. Wally Barch, Frank Barch. Oh, my God. On and on it goes sort of thing.
Were they all brothers?
I believe so, yeah.
Leon Wilch?
Yeah, he lived out there, but I don't know where. Oh, down the end of the town.
Yeah, he was out there somewhere.
And Fred Fred Ward, he lived down the end of the town. Yeah.
Fred Ward and...
his son was a school teacher.
W-O-I-D-T.
Yeah.
Well, I got to take up a what I did in grade two. Now, that was in still down in Keith. I actually got to be top in grade two, which was a little bit surprising, really. That was the only year that I was top of the class, sort of thing.
What did you like? What were your strengths?
Oh, I liked little things like when they started doing woodwork classes. I liked doing them. Anything about making things, you know. When we was living at McAlter, there was no nothing except a few rainwater tanks. So I sort of decided that it'd be nice to have a bore one day. The boring plant that I managed to buy, and I put down a bore 132 feet. The water was a little bit salty. It used to kill the old, what they call the blue Joan. So sort of gave that idea up.
Couldn't use it. Mm.
It was just a bit too salty to be a lot of good, sort of thing.
So we sold that when we sold the house at McAlter in 2010.
That was quite uncommon for people back then to be boring, or...?
Oh, yeah. You had to have a, what they call a well driller's licence, which I dutifully got, and I don't know how many years I had it, but it was a number of years. I had to do a lot of repairs on the old plant and swap the motor over that I had on there and put a motor on it that I got from one of my uncles, an old Crosby stationary engine. And I'm just trying to think what the make of the engine was that I replaced. Can't think of it now.
So you're a very hands-on person.
Oh, yeah.
So if anything needed fixing around the place, you were the man.
I'm afraid to say there were bits of hoarders. Hoarders, do you?
Yeah.
Him and two brothers.
So if something broke, there was always a spare somewhere.
There's always something. Even now, my son-in-law says, I'll just go to Bunnings. That's our shed.
Well, I got a three-bay shed on the property where we built a new house when we went to Nerri, and it's still three-quarter full yet. Mind you, I used a lot of stuff that I brought with me, put in the shed for that occasion, but it never seemed to decrease in volume of stuff that was in there. We had a clearing sale when we moved.
Still got stuff, but hell.
Getting a nice little figure on that one.
But gee, we sold a lot of stuff.
Yeah. High school, yeah.
Oh, yeah, back to high school.
High school, what about your high school years?
Not real brilliant.
Which high school did you go to?
Nerri. Nerri at the... Yeah, did a couple of years high school in Nerri and...
And do you remember any of the teachers?
Oh, God.
You said you had an awful one.
There was one old bloke, he's a bit of a pain in the ass. He was rather bumptious and rather noisy, you know. Now, some of the old teachers I didn't get on with too well there.
And did you focus on tech studies?
Science and woodwork and that sort of thing. I used to like writing, doing composition and that sort of storytelling and so forth.
And did you have any idea at this point of time of what you wanted to do?
Not really. Being a grape growing area, it was what I did was mostly going to be connected with that industry. And when I finally left school and started looking for a job, I took up some vineyard work out at my uncle's out at Vine Vale and started to learn pruning and all that sort of thing.
Was that pretty hard graft?
It was not easy on your back and so forth, that's for sure. From there on, I sort of looked for something that might be a bit more interesting. Well, I took up a job in a hardware store in the town and started meeting some of the locals, which was rather more interesting, you know.
Thorn Hardware, whereabouts was that in Angaston?
Well, opposite the Lowkey Flour Mills in the main street, but it's not there anymore. They've got a they had a little restaurant in over the street, and they actually put a restaurant in the old flour mill building also.
Was it on the over the road from Roaring Forties?
Yeah, Lowkey Flour Mills.
Angaston as a town back then, was there a lot of hustle and bustle in the town? Was it a fairly busy town?
Oh, fairly, yeah.
Well, how'd you get there? Is that when you drove? Did you have a licence then?
Well, I got a motorbike in 1962. I bought a new matchless motorbike, matchless 350. Did a lot of driving around on that thing for quite a long time. Eventually, when I got sick of riding around on their own, I got a Morris 14, which had the same basic motor as what the MG had at the time. Used to go all right too.
Did you ever take risks driving around on the back roads around the place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was all that red clay on most of the roads around there at the stage. We used to go up and get milk from the dairy next door. Went up there one morning, and one particular hill was a little bit more red mud than the others. I did an absolute beautiful 360 on top of the hill, went straight through the fence alongside, went out in the paddock and did a quick turn in there and drove straight out again. I wasn't going to stop, because if I would have, I'd been bogging myself in the mud. So drove straight out again, and my sister was with, she was holding the billy of milk.
Was she on the back?
That survived.
Was that Yvonne?
No, Jenny. So we still got home, had breakfast, and...
And you mean you still had milk?
And we still had milk, yep.
Bit of mud plucking.
That red mud was very, very greasy.
You've had a few cars. Can you tell me a few of your favourites?
Yeah, there's a... Austin A40 was the next one, I think.
Would you keep the cars for long, or was it the sort of thing that you'd regularly change every year or so?
Well, sort of kept them, did a bit of work on some of them, and I put a new short motor in the Austin A40. She finished up to be quite a good little car, to the extent that one of my mates down the bloody street, he asked me one day, what motor you got in that bloody car? I couldn't keep up with you the other day. You passed me and I tried to catch you, and there's no way I could. I said, it had a new short motor in it. It used to really motor along quite nicely, you know.
What was the speed limit back in those days? And was it ever enforced around the Barossa?
Speed limits, yeah. He had a bit of strife with some of them.
So did you have a favourite car over the years? Was there one that particularly stood out for you that you sometimes wish, I should have kept that one?
Well, I had a HR holding the 67 HR, and that would be quite easily one of the best cars that I should have kept.
Was it, did you just keep it original, or did you, would you, would you build the cars, like build the engines up?
No, just sort of maintain them pretty well, you know. I had a bit of a incident with the Kookaburra one day.
And what happened with the Kookaburra?
Oh, a few kilometres from home, this Kookaburra tried to dive bomb the car. And unfortunately for the Kookaburra, I had a sun visor on the car, and it just got the Kookaburra sliced it neatly in half.
Oh.
And had blood and guts all over the window. I had to turn around and go back home again and clean it off a little bit so I could see where I was going.
That doesn't happen every day.
No, no. I had a better one a few years later. Lauki flour mills used to have a few geese running around the mill picking up, you know, a bit of grain here and there. And I was going to the drive-in one evening in a later car that I'd got. I finished up with a Tirana 1900, the first one when the car shape was more of a square shape, as opposed to a lot of the Tiranas. They were sort of, you know, traditional car shapes. I went down the main street and got to the, well, we used to call it Yidunda Farmer's Corner down there. All of a sudden this thing was flapping up the road towards me, and what the heck? And by the time it had finished, it had collided with the area of the car and the top of the windscreen. Didn't make much of a dent at all. Didn't even make a mark, really. But it finished up in the gutter, 100 or so feet back up the road. It was pretty stone dead sort of thing, you know. Any other time of the day, I probably would have picked it up, took it home, plucked it, and had roast duck sort of thing, but wasn't the time of the day for it sort of thing. I went to the drive-in instead. But by the time I got back, the goose was not where I left it sort of thing, you know.
Was that drive-in the one between Tanunda and Newry?
Yeah. I used to go fairly often. It was...
So you must have been in your 20s then, were you?
Yeah, I'd say yeah.
See, I wouldn't know. So that's going back quite a while then.
But working at the hardware store, he had the, you know, the notice boards that show your up-and-coming shows sort of thing in the block beside the shop. And to have that there, they used to give him a free ticket every week. Well, I used to use that free ticket more than what they ever used it sort of thing, you know. Very handy to have it.
That's the first I know. Oh, dear. I used to buy a lot of Holden cars, too. Always a Holden.
Most of them were Holdens.
So you're a Holden man?
Yeah, pretty well. Used to follow Bathurst fairly well, you know.
Did you ever make the trip to Bathurst?
No.
This was kind of in your 20s working in the hardware store. What did you do for employment after that? Where did you move on to?
Yunkins in Nariutta. They had a branch there. I was selling building materials and stuff there. Yeah, a few years again too. Selling timber and building materials and paint and God knows what else. Surprising who you meet nowadays that you knew then. When I had my stroke and first moved into the rest home, a bloke I used to know, John Leschke, he used to be there, a carer, organising the church services there and a few other things. And he said to me one day, he said, "Gordon, I never ever thought I'd see you here." And I said, "No, and I never ever thought I'd bloody see myself here. Had a stroke and everything just fell in the hole, you know."
When did you have your stroke?
Oh, about 3 years ago now.
2022?
At home.
I had to do CPR.
That must have been scary.
It was.
What about you two? When did you guys meet? How did you meet?
We can blame our relatives for that. My cousin married a girl from up the hills and finished up down Murray Bridge, and one day I was invited to a bit of a do down their place, and I heard a little bit about this woman that was going to be there, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting.
It was sort of planned because...
It was, yeah.
His cousin married a friend of mine, girlfriend that I used to work with at the Woolen Mills. And they were originally from up the Barossa.
Mm-hmm.
Ranches, yeah. And then she said, oh, and he was on his own and I was on mine. And they thought, oh, it would be ideal if we met each other. And that was in September the 20th, 1981, and we got married in September the 18th, 1982.
Didn't muck around.
And then our daughter was born in August the 13th, 1983, 4 weeks to the day, prim.
And my brother-in-law from Murray Bridge, he was checking the dates on the calendar. He was one of those blokes that...
Like to know
what everyone else is doing, you know.
Yeah, so I've only been up here since then. But I sort of used to come up sometimes with the youth and sort of go to a few dances. But I'm from the hills.
Okay, where are you from originally?
A place called Harbin Vale. Mount Barker Junction now.
Mm-hmm.
Between Littlehampton and Ballyhanna. If you know where Littlehampton is, go along that road to Ballyhanna.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to live on, go on top of the hill, turn left, and we had a farm. My parents had a farm. And they, yeah,
lovely
those
country
days.
Up there.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful country.
Yeah, there's all new homes there, yeah. But we used to see the trains. I used to say the mail used to come up in the mail car on the train. On the line,
mm-hmm.
So we used to have to go over and pick that up, and out of our lounge room window this way we could see the Melbourne Express go around, and so we used to see the steam train go to Victor Harbour.
Wow. I know the road you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's a busy road, very busy, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah, and there used to be lots of trains there, now there's, of course, there's nothing, been nothing for years.
Just getting back to when you guys first met. So you met in 1981, you said.
Yeah.
You got married a year later.
So he used to come down weekends, and I suppose, I don't know what we used to do, go out, I suppose, or go for drives or do things. And then sometimes when I had days off, I'd come up here. Well, then he'd be working, but that was during the week. So I didn't have many weekends off. I don't know, I suppose. No, I used to just generally go out. Go to relatives, I suppose, didn't we? And to your family.
Uh-huh. And whereabouts did you get married?
Oh, in Harndorf, St. Paul's Lutheran Church. That's where I went, yeah. And we had a reception at Littlehampton in the hall. Yeah, so we had to cart everything down there and set all the tables up ourselves and did all... God, I tell you what. When it was bloody over.
Slept well that night, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I went to town and stopped there overnight and then back early in the morning to clean up the mess in the hall. That's how it went.
This stage then, 1983, you started having a family. What about employment at this point in time? Were you still driving the truck then at that point, or...
No,
had you moved on then to Penfolds?
Well, when I left work to come to live here, so I had no job. And then you didn't have a job, remember, after Tarek, yeah. So neither of us had a job when we got married. So we had to live off our income, couldn't get Centrelink, because we had 6 acres. And then we didn't have a job, and then I didn't, yeah, work for Loki's for the carrots for a few years until I got the job. It would have been at the Vine Inn, yeah, and she was at school. And that was only like casual, so it was just sort of...
It was flexible.
Yeah, and I did a lot of things for the primary school, McCoulter. Oh, gosh, did I ever. A lot of things for the school. And so I could do that in between. I left the Vine Inn and Andrew rang me up to work at the Brayer House, Andrew Plush. So I was there for 15 years, not in the bar. I never worked in the bar, just cleaning, and cleaned their house. Well, you know the house, the old doctor's house in Angaston.
That's his place? Okay.
It's the longest house in Angaston.
It's massive.
And the main passage.
It's as long as a cricket pitch.
So, you know, you bowl the ball down the other end and...
So I did that for 15 years before I retired, yeah.
So at this point then, you...
Gordon was already retired.
So, your last job then was Penfolds.
Yeah.
And what were you doing at Penfolds, Gordon?
Cellar hand and a bit of distilling.
But what'd you do at Tarrick? You're a distiller.
Distiller. Full-time shift work and so forth, yeah.
Yeah, and then he retired, he retired early, but I still kept working.
Mm. Well, that was the time that Penfolds were taken over by the Oakley brothers, who finished up buying Hamilton Island up in Queensland with the profit they made buying Kaiser Stall and Penfolds and all those places, you know. I think they got the better end of the deal somehow.
We've kind of discussed progressions of life up here in the Barossa and a little bit of the southeast. Is there anything unusual that's happened to you in your lifetime that you think, oh, this might be something worth mentioning? Experiences that were just a one-off thing that you can recall?
Well, that would be the... I used to have the idea that I was going to win first prize in the Mater Children's Hospital Art Union. I finished up by one second prize, which was a $40,000 Volkswagen camper van.
In the 90s?
Well, that's a lot of money at that time.
$40,000
vehicle.
We had a fly to Queensland, 3 days, and we drove it home. Didn't have a clue we were going in Queensland. Got lost. Went to the zoo on the way home, didn't we? Because Sarah, we had to break up the monotony. It was too hard for a little kid to be travelling. But it was good.
No, I drove it for 10,000 kilometres. Finished up, decided, well, better do something. Because if I keep it too many more years, it's going to be worth not much. So we sold it.
We did use it. Go on holidays.
Yeah, 10,000 k's we drove it around.
Just under 10,000 I think you sold it for, yeah.
Then we had to think, now what do we do with that money? So there was a house going, what I thought would be making a nice little rental. So we finished up, we sold the Voxy and bought the house. And when we finished up, we were making all the big moves. Moving to Nuri and so forth. We had to capitalise on some of our property, sell some of that to make the move. Finished up, sold the Volkswagen, bought the house.
And what can you tell me about the house at Makolta? Any significant history or heritage regarding the property? You mentioned to me earlier that you found these old boots.
Yeah, well, these were the ones, yeah. Uh-huh. That was in the old shed, like... There was two parts to the house. We sort of lived in this part, and over here was this big shed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we found them in there, up the top somewhere, when we were cleaning up, because we used to just, you know, you store your things in there, junk and stuff in there. Yeah, and these were the shoes.
Pretty old, brittle leather sort of thing, you know.
And I can't remember where, in that book, I think it said he used to get the hide or get the leather or something from Tanunda or something, a tannery or something.
They end up in your shed.
Whether he made them and nobody ever got them or picked them up.
No, they were worn out. They'd seen out the...
Well, that one there looked worn,
seen
don't
out
they?
The soles there.
Do you have any idea of the age of the house, the old house there at Macolta?
Oh, yeah, it had a stone on the end of the house when it was actually built first.
Well, they've got the business here in 1873.
Uh-huh.
I don't know... Yeah, when was the house built? I can't remember what it said, that stone.
Any little stories that you can share as a couple?
When we first got married, when we come back, there was a pram on top of one of the chimneys. How the hell they ever got it there, I don't know. But it was parked right on top of the bloody hall chimney.
That was his brother's.
And How it didn't sort of finish up blowing the chimney over, I don't know. Luckily it wasn't rough weather or something, I suppose.
And then they had all confetti in one of the rooms, you know, like they must have sort of blew it in there somehow with the... Oh, I've got no idea. Yeah. Travelled a bit, I suppose, mainly around like South Australia and Australia. Went to West Australia a few times. Knew he went in the Nullarbor on his own.
And is this travelling with a van?
No.
Or camping?
Oh, we did buy a caravan.
Yeah, finish up.
And
yeah.
We went to Alice Springs in it. When our daughter was in primary school, that was interesting. Went a lot over to Moontra and up to Queensland, flew up there, been up there. Kangaroo Island, I've been there 9 times, he's been there 8 times. But we've been like to Karrakalinga and Normanville. I don't know how many times we've been down there, love it down there.
It's nice.
Oh, lots of places, you know, all over, up to Edithburg. Port Broughton, all, you know, Robe, Mount Gambier a few times. Yeah, like...
It's nice down there too.
Yeah, right? Up Port Augusta and... Yeah, I've seen lots of things like that, yeah.
Gordon and Cheryl, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today. It's been lovely to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Barossa Village Oral History Project. Further podcasts can be found and downloaded at thewaywewere.podbean.com.